That's not yet.
That's not yet. It's not time for the funny hats.
TJ,
yet.
Would you do the rest of the show, like every show in a B suit, if we could find a good one for you?
I would do a show in a B suit.
Not, but you won't commit to the like your whole persona being in a B suit?
No, I won't commit to that.
I think you should consider it, TJ.
Well, you know what? If the B episode is super popular, maybe I will. But we should do an episode on bees, and I will dress as a bee for the B episode.
You could be like the dude from, you remember the Simpsons guy, the Mexican TV show.
TV
Ay Dios mío, no soy la palabra.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was gonna,
yes.
I was gonna be inspired more by.
Yes, dude, I want to see TJ in that dude with the little daisy and everything,
yep, yeah,
the little antennas.
Yeah, dude,
I'll do it. I'll do it.
Oh my God, dude! But see, I don't want it just for one show, TJ.
Well, I'm sorry, Paul. That's,
I want you to
get
your character needs to evolve,
yeah,
TJ.
The amazing bumblebee. Think about it, TJ. All
right, but you have to dress like a ballerina from now on. Then.
Okay, I don't all right. Give a shit.
Let's do it.
I'd make a fucking
dude,
sexy
make,
looking.
And you
ballerina.
Have to make constant bee puns, TJ.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna go way more based on my like the Jerry Seinfeld B movie bee than the Simpsons bee guy.
I don't mean to buzz in here.
Yeah.
Scotty tries to pass you the J. No thanks. I'm already buzzed.
To be or not to be.
The freedom of the player is absolute in Dungeons & Dragons. Within the confines of the world that they live in, whatever decision you want to make, there's a contingency for it, and there's a consequence for it. And that was the big idea. And so all throughout the 70s, it became a huge kind of underground hit with young people. And going into the 80s, it was just a well-worn cultural phenomenon amongst young people by that point. And of course, following close on the heels of that were the pearl-clutching Puritans who decided that this was corrupting children, making them do horrible things to each other. They were communing with Satan. And really, all of that started with the unfortunate story of one dude, and his name is James Dallas Egbert III.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It is a dorky name.
No, I just, you know.
So in 1979, Egbert disappeared from his dorm room at Michigan State University and was traced to the steam tunnels that ran underneath the campus.
Damn, he's dead.
There, the trail went cold.
He did.
His parents hired private investigators and a private investigator and tireless self-promoter William Deer to look into the case. Deer knew that Egbert played D&D, knew that some of the Michigan State students LARPed in the steam tunnels, so they were actually playing a.
Hold on, I'll read this article thing here.
Sure.
They talk about the D&D shit here.
Sure.
They mention it here, but then they get into it here. They're like, in the highly complex fantasy game, players assume the roles of contrived medieval characters who oppose each other in war campaigns. It was said that Dallas, who graduated from high school at the age of 14 and who had an IQ above 140, was attracted to the game by its intellectual challenge. He was found last September 12th in another state by a private investigator, William Deer of Dallas, who was engaged by his parents, blah, 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 blah. The circumstances of his disappearance have never been explained. So they're basically what they're trying to do here is be like, first they're talking about the fantasy game, then they're talking about his disappearance being unexplained.
Right.
So even though the two are probably not linked whatsoever.
And see, this is a later article about this. The earlier articles, when he was disappeared, also made mention before they found him. Because eventually they
of the D&D, right?
Right. They just found that he ran away. And but in that interim time when he was still missing, the media went wild with this insinuation that you know, his disappearance and possible death was somehow connected with this game that he was
like
playing.
Like a psychosis.
But
from
they have
the
no.
Game. Like he became convinced he was a character.
And,
in the game.
And from what I could find, the basis of that assumption was an interview with this very self same private investigator where he just offhandedly mentions it in the interview.
D&D
he just says, you know, the kid played Dungeons & Dragons, and so that's why we think he might have been in the steam tunnels down there. And that's really all the media needed to go, Dungeons & Dragons killed this kid. And when he was found alive, it was too late. Like, by the time that people found out that it indeed wasn't Dungeons & Dragons, but a host of mental problems that this poor kid was suffering from that were at the root of his problems, it didn't matter. The truth didn't matter anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, even here, once they found him, they're still trying to link it to his disappearance.
Exactly. You can read the tone of this article, and they're still covering a lot of D&D in a case that had nothing to do with D&D, other than the fact that the guy that killed himself eventually was a D&D player.
He enjoyed playing D&D.
Yeah, like, and if he'd, if they'd found out, like, oh, he's an avid chess player, they never would have in a million years been like, did chess kill this boy? Did chess make this boy disappear or whatever the
fuck?
Well,
Dungeons & Dragons, automatically, if you know nothing about that, it's like, what the hell
sounds
is that?
Spooky.
That sounds like some disturbing thing some weirdos were playing. Who's playing it? These dorks in basements.
But he was the first, and there were a spate of other media firestorms centered around kids who at one time had sat down and rolled the dice at D&D, and for some reason that's why they raped or murdered or hurt themselves.
Of course.
So it just ignited a long list of that. If you've never played D&D, you assume that the game goes wrong. Satan is summoned and sucks out everyone's soul. By the time Egbert showed up 6 months later, living in Louisiana under assumed name, William Deere's far more colorful version of events had taken hold in the media consciousness, and two books were already on their way to market. The first was from Rhona Jaffe. This is the most widely known and popular.
Which, by the way, is better than anything else Rhona Jaffe has ever written.
Which is kind of sad.
The charlatans came out of the woodwork, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I mean, the meme amongst bored housewives was clear that they were concerned now about this game that their children
were
playing.
And this was actually adapted into a film as well.
Yep. So she does mint two conventions that become staples of this mini genre in this book. The first is that each of the kids turned to RPGs because something was broken inside of them. So in this book, the character Kate's parents are divorced. The character Daniel's parents push him too hard. Jay is neglected by his divorced parents, and Robbie's brother ran away from home. So there's,
oh my god,
the insinuation is that the reason that these kids retreat to this fantasy world is because their lives are so shitty. And that very well may be true.
So basically, she basically established the whole, like, nerd kind of trope.
Right.
The outcast, to some extent, the outlier. It's kids that are coming from broken homes that are, you know, not able to cope with reality.
Meanwhile, the kids who are playing Dungeons & Dragons might be socially awkward and shit, but the kids who really had those kind of problems couldn't get other kids together to play a game of fucking Dungeons & Dragons with. Well, at least the Dungeons & Dragons kids had friends they could hang out with.
This book was sold on, there's an evil thing the kids are doing. None of these parents actually checked out what Dungeons & Dragons is about. And even if they did, it was probably in some like...
This is not about Dungeons & Dragons, Scotty. This is about mazes and monsters.
Of course, because they don't want to be sued.
The other convention, and probably the more far-reaching and lasting convention that she helped to establish, was that the role-playing, the fake role-play system that she came up with is incredibly silly, cringy, and something that most people that play this game probably would never do. You know, it's like the names of the characters. Kate was Glacia, the fighter. Jay was Freelick, the frenetic of Glossomere.
Freelick?
A sprite. And Robbie was Pardieu, a holy man. I mean, it's just like the system is it's very, like, dorky and lacking imagination. And really, it's how people that play D&D are still portrayed in the media. Anytime you see somebody do a little D&D, dig or whatever, a little D&D, comedic skit or whatever, they're always like, I am Ragnar the Merciless or whatever. It's always very, like, trope-driven.
And because of all this stuff, too, actually, they replaced, in the second edition of D&D, demons and devils.
Yeah.
Actually, I have it here. In Advanced Dungeons and Dragons 2nd Edition, the demon and devil races were called Tanare and Beetizu.
Yep. I pulled a little bit about that. So, yeah, this got such... And we'll cover a little bit more of it. We'll watch some of these movies. So, in 1982, there was a made-for-TV movie that was made about mazes and monsters, starring, our very own fucking Tom Hanks in his first role.
Whoa.
His first, well, it says here his first leading role.
Right, okay. His first big breaking role.
So let's take a look. This is from it.
There are two.
What do you guys think happened?
One of the players Robbie played with got carried away and killed him.
Well, that's kind of far out.
Mazes and Monsters is a far...
That's kind of far out.
You cut him off. He was about
to game.
He was about to double sword, down on it, poison, TJ.
Spells, battles, maiming, killing.
Hey, it's all imagination.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I'll be talking to you.
Damn.
This is awful.
Detective douchebag there, man.
So you can see the portrayal here.
If anybody in the audience ever sees Tom Hanks in real life, you don't see him in this scene. You'll see him in this one. Yeah. The one I'm about to play. If anyone ever sees Tom Hanks in real life, don't tell him you're a fan of Forrest Gump or any of his fucking actually good movies. Tell him that you are a fan of Mazes and Monsters.
I think we should watch Mazes and Monsters for a Cinema Versus
Cinex. I think we should watch it. I think it should be our next one.
Yeah, dude.
I think it should be our next one.
I think it should be, too. But anyway, let me set up this next scene.
Oh, sorry. You go ahead.
So in this next scene, what happens basically is that Tom Hanks' character, obviously D&D player, he plays the holy man, Pardue.
Eminem player, Paul.
Sorry. Mazes and Monsters player. My bad. And he kind of like loses his grip on reality and thinks he's actually Pardue, the holy man, and goes on a quest to New York City to save the princess or some dumb fucking shit. And in this scene, he's about to jump off the top of the World Trade Center, and his friends finally find him before he can do it.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard of. Okay.
Robbie!
Robbie! Robbie!
Robbie! Robbie! Pardue, what are you doing?
Going to join the Great Hall.
You can't. It's a trap.
I have spells. I'm going to fly.
You don't have enough points. I am the maze controller.
Dude. Dude, no.
What the fuck? All
right, we're watching this.
I have enough spells.
We're watching this, dude.
I mean, this does look like a cringe factory.
Dude, if there was fucking... If we had a closed caption, it'd be Tom Hanks squints.
Maze control.
Yes. And I have absolute authority in this game.
Can't jump now.
Game.
It's a game. But it seems so real.
Oh my god.
Oh no, not a close up. What the fuck is this?
JJ, what am I doing here?
Oh my god.
No, play that again.
No, dude. You know play what? Again. You know what? That was not even a line. That was just Tom Hanks fucking asking.
Play it again. He was asking
the fucking director.
What am I doing here?
What am I doing here?
Bullshit. Play that part again, dude.
JJ,
what am I doing here?
Is this like TJ? Oh, shit, dude. TJ, what am I doing here, man?
What am I doing here? Is it really just a game?
Game?
Yes.
Game!
TJ, what am I doing here?
Oh, that's a drop. We gotta get that as a drop. TJ, what am I doing here?
It's JJ.
Oh, is it JJ?
But yeah, we still gotta do it.
TJ, what am I doing here?
It sounds like he's saying TJ to me, but it is
TJ.
JJ.
Kate, what? JJ, what am I doing here?
What am I doing here? Oh, God.
Kate, why can't I remember?
A friend you can turn to.
And they all lived happily ever after.
It's just a game.
It'd be great if a gust of wind came and they all just blew off the edge.
Yeah, dude. Or a wizard came down and threw them off the edge with a spell.
Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
Better.
What if Pardue was right?
A fucking dragon just flies down.
They're like, what the fuck? He's like, I told you. Jump. Come on. We'll just fly. Anyway, so you can imagine that it wasn't just things like this that latched. It was the religious right, of course, latched onto this type of meme. Very hard. I pulled a couple of little examples. I pulled a chick track for us to take a look at. This is a pretty famous one.
They actually made, I think, a movie that's kind of loosely based around this this chick track.
They did, indeed. I think it's got the same name as this chick track.
Yeah, what is this one? Dark Dungeons?
Yeah, Darkest Dungeon or Dark Dungeons
it's
or something.
Dark Dungeons.
Yeah. So I thought we could pull it up and take a look at it, you know, at the risk of ripping off our friends Hugo and Hugo.
Hugo.
He's huge. Go fucking Hugo.
He's Hugo.
That's the best portmanteau of their names, though.
Oh, Hugo, dude.
It's Hugo.
Yeah.
Well, how's that? That's you, not Joe. A porn.
Oh, well, yeah, whatever.
It's just a make fun. If only there was a word for fat that rhymed or sounded like Jake.
Bake.
Bake. Hugh, Joe, and Bake. Sounds more like weed reference.
I know. Bake sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool nickname.
Would you rather hang out with Hugh Joe or Bake? Bake. I think you'd rather hang out with Bake, dude.
Bake, I don't want to be in the room with Hugh Joe.
Hugh Joe is too... Hugh Joe already fills the room.
Can you get a picture of Hugh Joe up, dude? We got to see a picture of Hugh Joe, dude.
Hugh Joe.
Okay.
Hugh Joe.
Dude, Hugh Joe is the room, man.
No, man, dude.
You're not even in the room.
Oh, here
with
we
him.
Go.
He's just the room.
Can you find a good one of him?
This is the first one that comes up if you type Hugo and Jake.
Oh, well, right. Sellouts, dude.
There's like sellouts.
Damn.
They sold
who
out.
Who thinks they're selling out, dude? What
I think
they
this
sell
I think this
to?
Might actually be one of their own videos that they did this on. Here's a more recent picture.
Fatter than ever, dude.
I don't know. They actually look a little less fat than they used
to. Fatter than ever.
Have they been losing the weight?
I don't know.
Put it up, TJ. Nobody can see
it.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
They were long. A long ago, supposed to be our first guest. You remember that, TJ?
Yeah,
long
ago.
Time ago, man.
Yeah, never worked out.
This is an interview. Embracing their LGBTQ+ fans.
There's Hugh Joe, dude. Sharing the fucking headphones like they're signing.
Cake, dude. Hugh cake? Joe and Cake.
Hugh Joe and Cake.
I figured it out.
Hugh Joe with Cake.
Oh, man. Whatever. They're a lovable couple of scamps.
Yeah. Anyway, they already did this, but we're going to do it, too.
Why not? I mean, we may as well.
Damn, dude. The DM here looks fucking fierce.
Dude, you won't believe the fucking plot of this thing. I'm going to get in super close here so we can just really absorb. So.
Okay, wizard. Cast your spell.
Okay, Dungeon Master, my spell of light blinds the monster.
Dude, no way, dude. You read that. Look, they're all brainwashed to be, okay, Dungeon Master.
Well, then it's going
to
take us 20 minutes
to
get through
this. Yeah, I don't feel like
it's... No, I'm just...
Dude, and look at the diversity of this fucking... There's like an Asian chick, I think.
No black people
there's like,
playing
no, there's a black dude right here.
Black dude in the middle.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Oh, yeah, he is a black dude.
Yeah, whoa,
yeah,
Paul.
I mean,
I couldn't tell.
Well, you gave him a fro.
Yeah.
And some, I guess... stereotypically black features or whatever the fuck. Oh, God, it's so sensitive. Okay.
The thief, Blackleaf, did not find the poison trap, and I declare her dead.
No! Not Blackleaf! No, no! I'm gonna die! Please don't make me quit the game. Please don't. Somebody save me. You can't do this.
Marcy, get out of here. You're dead. You don't exist anymore.
Shit.
Damn, she doesn't fucking exist anymore?
You're fucking gone. You're
fucking dead. Get the fuck out of
That's
here.
Harsh.
Debbie.
Now here's where the twist comes in.
Debbie, your cleric has been raised to the 8th level. I think it's time that you learn how to really cast spells.
You mean... You mean you're going to teach me how to have the real power?
Yes, you have the personality for it now.
Oh, shit, dude. Real magic? What the fuck is going on?
You've been shaped by the game.
The real power. Look at this.
The intense occult training through D&D prepared Debbie to accept the invitation to enter a witch's coven. I've brought Elfstar to become a priestess and witch.
And this dude's all like, welcome, Elfstar. Now you will become a priestess of
Whoa,
the craft.
Dude, if I play enough D&D, I get invited to a fucking join a witch's coven, dude.
With a whole fucking
man, let's keep playing this shit, dude.
Yeah, dude.
An altar, bunch of people in robes.
Dude, we need to join one of these covens so they can like let us use this as a shooting space.
We need to design our D&D set after this.
Yeah.
Just make it look like this.
We just need a giant pentagram on the ground.
Yeah.
And a temple of Diana, I guess.
Right.
Mr. Frost, this is fantastic. This makes the game real. It's not a fantasy anymore. Last night, I cast my first spell. This is real power.
I knew you were ready by the way you played the game, but this is just the beginning. There is so much more.
Damn, this is fucking cool as shit. What the hell,
yeah,
man?
Dude,
I wish D&D
They're
was
finding
like
out there's real fucking magic. Like, this is great.
Which spell did you cast, Debbie?
I used the mind bondage spell on my father. He was trying to stop me from playing D&D.
What a piece of shit.
Can't have that.
Look at that face. She looks
the
like
the mind bondage. Dude, I need to learn the mind bondage to use on Scotty. Be like,
oh, man.
Every time he's on my back, I'd be like, Scotty, go do that shit yourself. You're in mind bondage.
Yes, TJ.
What was the result?
He just bought me $200 worth of new D&D figures and manuals. It was great. Yeah, you get like two figures and a manual for that, probably.
Damn. It worked.
Oh, shit. Ah!
Later that week.
Hey, Debbie, Marcy's on the phone. She wants to talk to you. She seems pretty upset.
I can't. I'm fighting the zombie. Tell her I'll see her tonight. Who are you fighting the zombie with? There's no one else there.
Yeah, no one else is playing.
She's gotten so good she can play by herself.
Dude, she DMs and plays. Damn, that's pretty impressive.
She is all roles.
Hi, Mrs. Anderson. Marcy wanted me to see her tonight.
I'm glad you're here, Debbie. Marcy has shut herself in a room and won't come out. She hasn't been herself for weeks. I've been very worried. Ever since her character in the game got killed, it's as though part of her died. Maybe you could talk some sense into her.
Yeah, just have her reroll a new character.
Elfstar is dead.
She killed herself.
Damn.
No, Marcy, what? You didn't have to do that.
Why can't you just create a new character, though?
No.
Why does she have to die?
Everyone knows that once your character dies in D&D,
it's traumatic.
You're never allowed
to
play again.
Dude, when I was playing D&D and people experience character deaths, it happens, man. But, like, you just get over it. It's like, it sucks for the moment.
You have to.
But you embrace it. It happens to everyone.
Scotty, if you really cared about D&D, you'd be fucking... You would have hanged yourself by now.
Damn, dude. I guess so.
It's my fault Blackleaf died. I can't face life alone. Marcy.
Oh my god. Not Blackleaf.
She really loved that character, dude.
Blackleaf sounds like a pretty dank character, though.
If you understood how fucking cool Blackleaf was...
Yeah.
You wouldn't even want to reroll another character after you'd played Blackleaf, dude.
Yeah. Damn.
Mrs. Frost, I can't get Marcy out of my mind. How could she do something like this? If I'd left the game, she'd be alive today.
Get your priorities straight, Debbie. Your spiritual growth through the game is more important than some lousy loser's life.
Doesn't even care about
I kind of agree if she can actually cast mind control spells on people.
We're talking about real, like, spells and shit here, you know? I mean...
You gotta charge something to the game, you know?